Hello, and welcome to Listen Up, the E3 Diagnostics Podcast. I'm Susan Robbins. My guest today is Dr. Gail Whitelaw of Ohio State University. She's going to talk with us today about tinnitus, patients, diagnosis, and collaborative treatment. She'll also make the case for welcoming tinnitus patients into your practice and recommend resources to help you diagnose and treat this population. Welcome to the podcast, Gail. Tell us a little bit about your background and your role at OSU.
Thank you, Susan. I am the director of the Speech and Hearing Clinic at OSU, and I also work as a faculty member in the AUD program and see patients both by supervising students and by myself. And my role is really very varied. However, one of my interests and one of the classes I teach is on tinnitus and tinnitus management. So that's how I got to you today.
Well, when we were planning this episode, you mentioned that tinnitus is not just an auditory issue. Can you please provide a broader explanation?
Sure. You know, people with sounds in their heads will often say they're just been told to ignore it or there's nothing that can be done for it. But most of those sounds for people who cannot habituate to it, who can't adjust to it, can be life-changing and sometimes life-destroying. And during the pandemic, we've heard a lot about people having higher levels of anxiety and depression, and I know a lot of my tinnitus patients are reaching out to me talking about how anxiety and depression impact their tinnitus. We know there's a correlation there. We also know that there are many people who have tinnitus for reasons that are other than ear-related, just change in hearing or noise exposure. Something like a traumatic brain injury or concussion can also result in tinnitus.
So why have many hearing healthcare practitioners shied away from tinnitus patients?
I think that's a great question. And I think a lot of times they're very fearful because they've heard that tinnitus patients are needy or suicidal. And there are very few patients who have tinnitus who are needy or suicidal. Many of them just want to have some reassurance from a hearing healthcare provider that perhaps there's something more that can be done for their tinnitus or there are things that are out there. And for the average audiologist in practice, they're often not used to talking about things like mindfulness or anxiety or depression. And those things are really, really easy roads to cross as an audiologist. That's what we're trained to do. That's what we're educated to do. And that's why most people went into a profession was to help others.
So I'd like to touch back on something that you said a minute or two ago about COVID-19 and its impact. I mean, it's really impacted the general population. And has it made things better, the same, or worse for tinnitus patients?
You know, as I mentioned before, I think it's made things worse for tinnitus patients. Many tinnitus patients who maybe were coping before are now dealing with increased stress and anxiety about being furloughed, about loss of revenue, about, just being trapped in a quiet place all day, their home, and not having the kind of interaction that they're used to having. A lot of patients will talk about when they're at work during the day or when they're doing things during the day, they're not as aware of their tinnitus because they can put it on the back burner a little bit. But if you're at home all day long, maybe not having anybody else to communicate with or your home is relatively quiet, you may miss out on some of those benefits. Additionally, many tinnitus patients are fearful about, you know, if they have, say, they're diabetic and have a hearing loss and have tinnitus from that, they may be fearful of being at higher risk, and those kinds of things also weigh on them. And as far as COVID goes, I think this is, you know, uncharted territory. So it causes almost everyone to have anxiety and depression. At the beginning of the stay-at-home orders in most states, a psychologist who works in San Francisco, Jennifer Gans, opened up an online service to help people with tinnitus and hyperacusis and misophonia to really get some online relief. And I have several patients who've done that who found it to be really, really helpful. And you know, for many of them, they couldn't access their services for their typical provider, whether it be audiologist or psychologist, and that's given them some options. So I think because we're also seeing some virtual services or telepractice, those things have been helpful.
And carrying on with that, let's talk about treatment and diagnosis for tinnitus patients. You've been working with this population for most of your career, and you've seen how diagnosis and treatment options have expanded over time, in addition to what Dr. Ganz is providing. Can you give us a perspective on what's available now?
Absolutely. I think tinnitus is a really exciting, growing area. I can tell you that when I first started going to like American Academy of Audiology meetings, there'd be maybe one session on tinnitus, and now there's always multiple sessions with rooms packed full of people, of audiologists who want to know more. So first of all, I think there's better diagnostic procedures, and a lot of them are the same things we've always done, but maybe just looking at it a little bit differently, using some questionnaires differently than we have in the past to track how disturbing this is in the person's life and how it might be influenced by some of those answers, what we may choose to do. But I think a big change has been the technology. The fact that well-fit hearing aids can help people with their tinnitus in 70 to 80% of the cases, that's critical. But the concept of well fit means that we're using our best tools, our best services, like using, for example, hearing aids that have habituation tools that are built into them. And I have no disclaimer, I'll tell you the tools that we've worked with. Almost every manufacturer uses something right now, and it might be a hit or miss with your patients. It may be that you might use Widex with their Zen programming, which I've had great success with. But if somebody has a little bit more hearing loss, using the Signia products are fantastic. That Notch Noise, for so many of my patients, it takes a couple weeks to acclimatize to it, but they really, really like it. And it makes a huge difference in their perception of the tinnitus. I think the other aspect is that things like anxiety and depression and cognitive issues and mindfulness are now much more mainstream, both in the current population and in what we have to do in our own practices, that we can talk to people about things like mindfulness, and we can see benefits in mindfulness and some of the research with tinnitus. So it gives people something to work on and do on their own. I think that also we have an opportunity to educate people using our highest level of skills and talking about things that don't work. The internet is fraught with all kinds of information on tinnitus. However, that information is not often very useful, and we should be encouraging anybody who has tinnitus to come in and get a full audiologic evaluation. In our practice, we screen out to 12,500 hertz. So, you might need to have a audiometer that supports high frequencies and certainly headphones that are calibrated and support high frequencies. Those kinds of things I think are really important to look at, but you might want to do some education with the patients, because if you don't do that or you tell them there's nothing that can be done, they keep looking on the internet, and it's kind of frightening the kinds of things that you find.
So you mentioned a couple of ways that practitioners can prepare to diagnose and treat tinnitus patients. What's the upside? So what can you hope to gain if you expand to include this population and to, in a way, really create hope for them?
And, Susan, you hit on the idea of creating hope. And I can tell you, having seen tinnitus patients for a long time, and the past, say, decade has really changed how I practice as an audiologist. I used to be one of those people where, well, you were kind of limited in what we can do. And now I see it's really, really opening up. So first of all, I think the creating hope is really important. I jokingly tell our graduate students that these are patients who want to come in and they just verbally vomit all over you because they want you to hear their story. Many have seen hearing healthcare providers in the past and are not satisfied with what they've been told, because primarily they've been told, you can learn to live with this. Well, if they could, they would. I think the other part of it is it makes them feel, or they tell me that they feel, as if they're hopeless cases, it's too difficult, all of that. I know from our own practice that if you build it, they will come. Tinnitus patients are looking for referrals. if, for example, you want to join the American Tinnitus Association, you can become like a corporate member of them. And they'll refer people to you all the time. We get referrals from them all the time. They do a fantastic job with that. But this is a population where you will see more patients. Many of these patients buy hearing aids or habituation devices, so you can increase your sales that way. And they're, you know, my students always jokingly say that tinnitus patients, if you can help them, will wear a satellite dish on their head. They don't care what it looks like. They just want to get the help. So if you go into it with the approach of, I am going to do everything I can to help these people, whether it be refer them to the right resources, work in an interdisciplinary team, let them know about education they didn't know about before. If you approach it in that way, I think you see huge growth in your potential of working with this population.
What a great way to wrap up this episode. Hey listeners, do you have questions or comments? Contact your E3 sales representative or Gail directly at whitelaw.1@osu.edu. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gail.
Thank you, Susan. I really enjoyed it.